We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Northants Evening Telegraph, read by Harriet Cowes.
Toetector's black shoes, steel toe cap, two pairs, size 11. One pair brand new, other pair only worn once in house to break in.
Thanks to Jeremy Wood for sending that in. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Francis Ween and Linda Smith. Andy, the traditional easy question, whose court victory was as easy as ABC?
Well, this is the trial of the century, called that because that's how long it felt like it lasted. Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson.
I have a feeling, though, can you, that Nuremberg might have had the edge?
Yeah, on balance.
Jackson. And it was of another century, as someone just pointed out in the audience.
Different millennium.
Yeah. I do love that about a Radio 4 audience. Dear points of view, I was appalled when I recently went to a recording of the popular radio show News Quiz, when one of the panellists inaccurately identified a century. Children may have been listening.
You finished your letter? You are one of them.
P.S. Is Andy Hamilton getting shorter?
A lot of people said it's good news that Michael Jackson was found not guilty. I mean, it's good news for the cosmetic surgeons and chimpanzee salesmen. I thought what was extraordinary... Well, no, he bound to buy a new chimp to celebrate. First thing you do, isn't
the
it?
The chimps are on me.
The extraordinary quote, I thought, was that after the trial he said he's no longer going to take young boys into his bed, which is a bit like somebody being found not guilty of robbery and then coming out of the court and saying, well, that's the last time I take a shotgun into a bank. Because people just put the wrong interpretation on it.
Singer Michael Jackson has been acquitted of all charges against him for molesting teenagers shortly before the verdict was announced. Jackson buried his face in his hands. I spent the next 20 minutes reassembling it. Fred, who's at loggerheads over there? Overheads.
Is this us? Is this
it is.
EU?
It is.
All right. Well, Britain pays money into the EU pot, and we get something like $3 billion off. We get, and the European Union say that that's to stop. And I heard it mentioned on the BBC News that there are various other wee skirmishes going on, but the main event is Chirac against Blair. So it's a new kind of celebrity politician punch-up. And he should do what the whole of the public thinks is the right thing and send John Prescott over. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. I mean, it's Blair's being the Thatcher for the new with the new millennium,
yeah,
isn't he? He's digging his heels in and saying, no, we're keeping it. Or you have to change the common agricultural policy, which, as you all know, the French do rather well out of, and the Germans sort of by default, because every year on the 1st of January, every French farmer gets a big cheque and they cash it in for a Merc. Or a BMW. And if they'd bought Rovers, we'd all be happy.
Chirac said he wouldn't have a joint press conference with Blair because he doesn't like him. And Blair said, that's right, I'll have one on my own. I can say what I want about you.
Well, do you think, quite exciting. Do you think one day those two crazy kids will stop arguing long enough to realise they're in love? Do you actually read these articles about the EU? Because I find, you know, this week I was in the pub and I thought, oh, this is probably going to come up. And I started reading it. Next thing I know, I wake up, freezing cold. It's the middle of the night. I've got drool all over my face. And it's Celebrity Love Island, the director's cut.
Any deal on the new EU budget at a summit in Brussels seems unlikely, with Blair still refusing to give up Britain's rebate and Chirac refusing to renegotiate farming subsidies. Ian Duncan Smith said Mr. Blair had adopted more positions on Europe than the Kama Sutra. which visibly riled Blair, who had to be restrained from showing the opposition bench his bending lotus flower.
Is that a position?
I thought it was the position you were assuming, Andy. That's why you looked a bit short.
Linda, which leader suffered an attack of the blues this week?
Oh, this is the Tory leadership
2 points.
Business,
right.
Isn't it?
You were complaining
you,
that Europe was boring.
This has been running so long, this question, there's now a bursary you can get for answering this question. Michael Howard was apparently humiliated in a vote on how they're going to choose the new leader. He got 4 votes for his idea of how it should be done. He got 4 votes, which was him, his best friend, Francis Maude, a cleaner who felt a bit sorry for him, and Anne Widdecombe in a spirit of irony.
So you see the Ladbrokes odds this week. Unbelievable that anyone would want to bet on such a thing, but they have 27 runners and riders so far at Ladbrokes you can bet on, including Ian Duncan Smith.
Yes, 150-1. In fact, you're 110-1.
All that looky light work could come back. So who is favourite?
Harold Macmillan is 50-1.
Ken Barlow, he'd be good.
Yeah. Is there anything in the rules that says that a party can't be led by a fictional character?
Precedents.
There are precedents, yeah. That would be great,
Margaret
wouldn't it?
Margaret Thatcher wasn't real. She only appeared if you ate a lot of cheese late at night. So who could be the Labour one, then?
Tony Blair.
It's Tory leader, but not for very long, Michael Howard, who's faced renewed speculation over the length of his tenure after Tory MPs rejected his plans for the coming leadership election. Most Tory MPs want a populist right-winger to lead the party and hope to persuade him to do so the moment he steps down as Prime Minister. 2 points to Linda. Francis, listen to this. Francis, why won't school be out ever?
I think it's Ruth Kelly. That
no, that was Alice Cooper.
But she's going. Ruth Kelly, the education secretary, is going to keep schools open all the year round. And they're going to be open all the way through the holidays. Children will go into these after-school and during-school clubs. They're going to be open from 10 till 6. 365 days a year. They might be given Christmas Day off if they're very, very good.
No, that's actually worse than boarding school. You went to a boarding school, Francis.
But it was at least a comprehensive. That was the main thing about it. So
a boarding comprehensive?
It was mixed ability. It was. Well, I was there with Mark Thatcher. You know, you can hardly say it was. They can't pretend that there was any academic selection going on.
Did he keep getting lost in the corridors?
I think he's related to Isabella Harvey, who's on Celebrity Love Island, who this week was asked what 4 times 12 was, and she knew that 2 times 12 was 24, and then she counted another 24 on the She has had 13 years of education, yeah. Which is like 6 plus 6 and another 1. It's only about 3 weeks since Tony Blair said that what he couldn't do was bring up the nation's children. And now Ruth Kelly's saying, well, it's all right, I will.
This is only phase one of their plan, because they've also said that nursery school teachers should report on any 3-year-olds who show criminal tendencies. Yeah.
How are they going to enforce this? Are they going to employ the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
This week, Ruth Kelly announced plans for all primary and secondary schools to provide dawn-to-dusk wraparound childcare throughout the year by 2010. The government hopes former pupils will come back to their schools to help teach specialist after-hours courses such as how to crochet a hoodie, how to disable an electronic tag, and how to spell Asbo. At the end of round one, the scores are both teams have 4 points. Let me start round two with a notice from the Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust website. Summer events.
Friday, the 1st of July, Bats and Barn Owls Barbecue.
Thanks to Beverly Ashworth for spotting that. Andy, what national institution can barely pass muster?
Ooh. That's a bit like a crossword clue.
I'm just doing an anagram of muster.
Muster, in the audience? You know, it's kind of military term. Muster.
Oh, is it down or across, this one?
It's the armed forces.
It is.
We're skint, and we can't fight anybody unless they're a third world country, who have been looking at us a bit funny. I think we'll go and sort them out. The army's skint, nothing works.
But the army always say that, though, don't they? What is it we're short of, anyway?
Height.
I mean, surely the mistake is telling the enemy. Isn't it? Because in the war we had cardboard tanks, didn't we, to fall. Well, that would be very cheap for the taxpayer. But the mistake is the army banging
not,
on
not
about it.
Not too good in a downpour, though, your cardboard tank. Then you could form a gum from the papier-mâché.
A report by the National Audit Office says Britain's armed forces are overstretched and experiencing serious weakness. The government expects the armed forces to be in a constant state of readiness to deal with sudden emergencies, like parachuting into Brussels and seizing our rebate by force. A security review this week has been launched after a journalist from The Sun gained access to Sandhurst and videoed Prince Harry. The grainy videotape shows Prince Harry performing basic military tasks, such as watching his butler do square bashing.
That's a trend now. It's getting rather tired, isn't it? Journalists breaching security. They didn't last time they took in a box with the word bomb written on it, didn't they?
No, they'd nicked that from the army.
Fred, who was accused of selling out when they tried to sell.
Live 8?
Yes.
Sir Lord Bob Geldof, who's in charge of everything, it turns out, told eBay that they should stop selling tickets for Live 8, which they're only the sort of messenger, they're the middleman. So it's the people that are the ones that have texted and got the tickets, they're the bad guys. And I've never bought anything from eBay, although I was tempted when Celtic got into the UEFA Cup final. And I went on eBay, but in those days, you weren't allowed to actually say that you had tickets for sale. So there was loads of things that said, Celtic scarf for sale, £180, with surprise bonus prize, section J, row E, 34 and 35. I think some good is obviously going to come from it. And I have heard, you know, there's been all this, whether the Spice Girls are getting back together or not. But the news today, folks, is that Mariah Carey is getting back together.
Or maybe Michael Jackson will get back together. Bob Geldof is my hero, I've decided. I think it's fantastic that he's retained all that anger about everything. I mean, he was furious. He called eBay electronic pimps, didn't he? And he urged, which is rather a nice image, a sort of little robot pimp on every street corner. Yo, want to go with my bitch or whatever? And I've no idea if that's what pimps say. That's totally unrealistic. I'm sure they're much subtler than that. But
ho scarf for sale.
With woman attached. But I just think it's great that he's kept all that anger, because he's a middle-aged man. All I can get angry about is the bin men coming late. And, you know, and I think it's fantastic. I think he's an inspiration to... in fact, I'm going to answer all the rest of the questions on this show. I'm going to model myself on Sir Bob.
Right, well, I'll model myself on Midge then.
All right, then.
The online auction site eBay has removed sales of tickets for the Live 8 concert following protests by Bob Geldof. Hundreds of tickets for the concert appeared on eBay for up to £1,000 a pair, even though bidders already knew that Coldplay were in the lineup. Linda, listen to this. Linda, why are health, education and the environment a bit of a lottery now?
There's going to be this new department of health, education and scratch cards. Because lottery money is being appropriated, apparently, by the government rather than to provide us with things we sort of don't really need, really, like art centres, to give us sort of health and education and stuff. So I don't know, I didn't mean to be rude about art centres there. I do notice, though, going around doing shows in art centres, they're very often, you know, there's a sign outside saying lottery funding, you know, £1 million, pleased to receive. And you go in and it looks exactly the same as it did when I played it 5 years ago. And I think, well, are the people who get lottery funding, are they like people who win on the lottery, who go, well, it's not going to change my life, carrying on just the same, I've always had the beer-stained seats, I'm sticking with them. But anyway, no, so this is, I follow any of this, I don't do the lottery, which means I'm marginally less likely to win than someone who does. Whenever I see queues of people outside newsagents queuing for that, I feel like shouting, do you like opera? Do you? Hey? Get down there much, do you, Covent Garden?
But you've got more chance of being hit by an asteroid, haven't you? Particularly if you're queuing outside the newsagents. Yeah.
There's actually so many people now who do the lot. There's actually a medical condition called scratch card lung. You inhale the little gold dust. It's a leisure-related disease. A whole scratch card lung. It's a modern plague. It's no laughing matter, Simon.
People have spent 30 years down coal mines to get that.
Well, these days, people want instant gratification.
First reading of the new National Lottery Bill, the government was accused of using lottery money to pay for schemes normally funded by the taxpayer, turning the lottery into a stealth tax. There's been criticism that those involved in government shouldn't use money earmarked for charity to fund their own projects. But Sherry still won't give up her appearance fees. Francis, who's been rowing with the media this week?
He's the Archbishop, isn't he?
He is.
Rowan Williams. Who always used to seem as cuddly teddy bear, but he suddenly turned nasty and gave a speech being beastly about journalists, which is fair enough, I suppose. I think he just is against journalists. And not just journalists, actually. He's against the whole internet as well, because it has blogs on it, and he doesn't like blogs, because he said they're like unpoliced conversations. And he doesn't approve of those either. He looks uncannily like Andy Hamilton, actually.
Bit taller.
The Archbishop of Canterbury offered a wide-ranging critique of the way the media operates this week, arguing that biased selection and presentation of the news is leading to growing public cynicism. Yeah, right, whatever. At the end of round two, everyone's still level with 8 points. And before we start round three, here's an item from the school's health education unit flyer.
Attitudes to and experience of illegal drugs, 1987 to 2004. This new report will be printed in May 2005 and expected to be 40 printed A4 pages, comb-bound, and include at least 12 illegal drugs.
Thanks to Linda Edward Hertfordshire for that. Andy, why is the Grand Old Duke in York?
Oh, is this Ascot?
It is.
Going up to York. Ascot isn't being held at Ascot this year. It's being, because they've got the builders in. They're putting in decking or something, I don't know. They said they'd be out by Tuesday, but they weren't, so let's decamp, let's move the whole race meeting to York.
Very narrow, those streets in York.
What?
Wouldn't the horses be distracted by all the tea rooms and little dried flower shops and things?
Yes, that's right. That's been a real problem, Linda, throughout the whole race meeting. So anyway, have I stepped into a parallel universe here? I've got Linda going off on some drug craze tangent. Yeah, so they took it up to York, and there were pictures of women in ridiculous hats trying to keep them on in a northern gale. And one hat that was a football pitch. It was a woman with wearing a, you know, a football stadium on her head.
Was it like table football? You know, like
yeah, she had a handle.
Did you play?
There were two very tall men playing Sabutio on the top.
How do you know? Actually, Andy, it has been a success. They've had bigger numbers at York than they ever have at Ascot, and they're thinking about having Wimbledon in Cleethorpes. Tripe and cream, anyone?
It's Royal Ascot being held for the first time ever away from Ascot, where the racecourse is undergoing refurbishment. This year's Royal Ascot meeting is being held at York, where the going is described as soft. Southern bastards. Fred, listen to this. Fred, who's yes. getting an invitation to a civil wedding?
You are now, in England and Wales, going to be able to mention God at civil weddings, which is just grand. But I'm probably now in trouble with the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland having mentioned God, because he's not even allowed to be mentioned at religious weddings in Scotland. Because God just isn't religious enough. He gave in to temptation and created heaven and earth and then blew the whole thing wide open by creating us lot and giving us private parts. Look at the trouble that's caused.
Not just God, you can't mention anything in civil ceremonies to do with religion of any shape. So you're not allowed to play Robbie Williams singing Angels at a register office wedding, apparently.
Good.
You can't play Stairway to Heaven. All these other things are banned. And now Blair's going to let it happen.
You can't play Mariah Carey either. Not for any religious reasons, just...
Can't play her at what?
New proposals to change the nature of civil weddings may allow for religious references. The government is considering changes to the current civil wedding system, such as electronic tagging of the groom, as both for in-laws, and charging guests £1.30 a metre to travel to and from the buffet. Linda, who was fired from being fired.
Oh, this is a very sad story of a man who was a human cannon at the circus. He wanted to do it since he was a kid, and he'd sort of practice and sort of did all special skull-toughening exercises and everything, and he did it, and he was great at it, but he hurt his knee. He just a little knee injury, and they said, well, no, I'm sorry, there's a health and safety issue here. I'm afraid it's a surprisingly dangerous job, being fired from a cannon, and you will have to go on a special safety course in Brazil, which apparently is a centre of excellence for the human cannon industry. But he said, oh no, I can't fly. So they've sacked him, and he's heartbroken, and he's suing them for wrongful dismissal. But I think they need to take a lateral approach here. All right, he doesn't like aeroplanes. He's frightened of aeroplanes. Many people are. He likes the cannon. A bigger cannon. That's the idea. Get him to Brazil. But he doesn't want one of those cheap economy line ones. He doesn't want to go on Easy Cannon.
Easy Cannon, there's no net at the other end.
No.
I've been caught out like that. I was 6'4" before I was...
Todd, the human cannonball, was sacked by the Cottle and Austin Circus after he refused to fly to Brazil for specialist treatment. The MOD were also devastated at his dismissal because, thanks to recent cutbacks, Mr. Christian was the last long-range weapon we had left in the army. Francis, your last question. Who's trying to prove they're from the sticks, but no stick in the mud?
It's these bottles of mud you can buy.
Yep.
Spray on mud. Because lots of people who live in cities, there are lots of people with these huge four-wheel drive Range Rovery type cars. But if you buy this spray on mud, you can then pretend you actually come from the countryside and you've been off-roading and roughing it a bit. And it looks more plausible or impressive,
but it's,
or something.
It's specially filtered mud, Francis, because if you put just any old mud on, there might be bits in it that would scratch the paintwork.
They do. It's I think it's a macrobiotic. They mix the earth.
Round my way, in the sort of, East London into Essex, footballers' wivesy type area, they've moved on from the 4x4s. Now it's amphibious landing craft.
People living in towns and cities who own four-wheel drive cars can now buy spray-on mud to boost their street cred. Drivers can pay £7.95 for a bottle of diluted Shropshire mud. Or they can go to a pub in Shropshire and get it on draft for £2.20. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Right, this is from Joy Allen of Woking, and it's from The Times. Men who rang a £1 a minute sex line to talk to Filipino girls grew wary when the girls used slang such as A-up and Miduk and alerted trading standards. Andrew van der Rehe, 41, who ran the line, was fined £65 by Nottingham magistrates in order to pay £1,000 costs for describing 40 Nottingham women as Filipinas.
This story is about Germany's three oldest bank robbers who were jailed yesterday after admitting stealing more than £800,000 in 14 raids across a number of provisional towns. It took longer to arrest them than usual as they had to be read their rights twice. Said the police officer.
Linda.
My thanks to Cynthia Wigley for this, which she spotted in the Daily Telegraph. A college professor who, having seen a touring production of Hamlet, asked the director whether he believed that the Prince of Denmark had ever actually consummated his relationship with Ophelia. Yes, replied the director. I think it was during the second week at the Grand Theatre Wolverhampton.
Francis.
Thanks to Emma Pritchard for passing this on. It's from the London Evening Standard, a profile of the dreariest band in the world, Coldplay. It says, Chris Martin's father is an accountant, his mother a biology teacher. Guy Berryman's dad is an engineer. Champion's father is an academic. Buckland has never spoken about his parents. They took him to live in Wales when he was four.
Let's look at the final scores. Francis and Linda have 16 points, but Andy and Fred have clung to their lead and are this week's winners with 17 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from Wildlife Trust's Natural World magazine, sent in by Jane Payne.
Want to get involved? For information on the 2004 Hampshire Dormouse Survey, or to send your nuts for verification, please contact our biodiversity officer.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Fred McCauley, Linda Smith and Francis Green. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, George Coles and Dave Cohen. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.